So we're coming to the start of our Parsha Pinchas, and we're told that God gave Pinchas the position of being a Kohen because of what he had done. And we're told that the members of the tribe of Shimon, from which the Nasi had been killed, were really irate. And they couldn't believe that this guy Pinchas had the audacity to kill one of the princes in the Siam of a tribe. And they try to figure out, how did he have this audacity? And they said, on his mother's side, he comes from Yisro. And because Yisro had a history of being someone who was a minister to idolatry, there obviously was some sort of impediment which passed from Yisro to Pinchas' mother to him. So here's why he did it. Because the person he came from was not a pure human being. Or they said he got insulted when Zimri said, if I can't have this woman, how does Moshe Rabbeinu have a Midiani wife? Therefore Hashem said, I want you to tell all the people that Pinchas has the status of a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik. He is someone whose actions follow the actions of Eleazar, a Kohen, and Aaron, a Kohen. It would seem at first that someone who is an Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom, somebody whose essence is finding peace, would be someone who is far away from executing another Jew. But Hashem was telling the Jewish people that where there's wanton immorality and idolatry, Shalom can demand rash type of action, such as execution. And we're told by Chazal there were four people who were castigated, were looked at poorly because of a low origin, and Hashem defended their honor. Pinchas is the first. Hashem said he is a worthy descendant of Aharon HaKohen and of Levi. Levi wiped out Shechem when they acted against Dina, and he has the same level of zealotry. The Kohen Uriah, what officiated in the Beis HaMikdash during the reign of Achaz. And people somehow felt that his genealogy wasn't pure, that he came from the Givonim, the Gibeonites, and Hashem made a statement that he was definitely 100% Kadosh, holy. Yechezkel was mocked because his great-great-great-grandmother was Rachav. Right, the one who saved the two Jewish spies sent by Yehoshua, and who later married Yehoshua. But because she didn't start out being Jewish, or whatever she did before, people said, he's of the same caliber. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu again said, tell the people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words came to Yechezkel ben Buzi the Kohen. He is my emissary. And it says that the prophet Yirmiyahu was also jeered because he too came from Yechezkel and therefore Rahav, and therefore again it says the words of Yirmiyahu, son of Chilkiyahu of the Kohanim, that came from Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pinchas will reap his actual rewards in Olam Haba, but will be seen to be rewarded in this world also. I am making him a Kohen. And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pinchas will have descendants who will become Kohanim Gedolim. It says in the first Beis HaMikdash, 18 high priests were Pinchas' descendants, and in the second Beis HaMikdash, 80. And Hashem said, I'm giving Pinchas this blessing of peace and protection from any of Zimri's friends or family who want to start up with him. And Hashem said, in order to demonstrate and to confirm that Pinchas was the one who brought Shalom, peace now, he is going to be the messenger of peace in future. We're told that Pinchas somehow morphed into becoming Eliyahu HaNavi. And we're told that Eliyahu will come before Moshiach, v'heshiv lev avos al banim, he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, v'lev banim al avosam, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And we're told that Pinchas Eliyahu went up, as we know, Eliyahu went up to Shemayim in this fiery chariot that we learn about in Malachim, and it says they never basically died. Because he prevented Klal Yisroel from being annihilated, he himself deserved to have an existence that spans all of existence. It says in the Abarbanel that when Eliyahu went up to Shemayim, some of his physical body, or most of it, somehow disappeared, but he didn't really die. He retained physical attributes so that he could come back. And we're told that he came back and saw many of the Tannoi, right? We learn in the Gemara. Cosby rank as having been a princess was a cause for everlasting shame and disgrace. Her father, who was one of the greatest kings of Midian, basically had his daughter committed to trying to entrap Moshe Rabbeinu. And Pinchas had no fear of retribution from this individual. Immediately after this incident, Hashem gave Moshe instructions and said, Sororas HaMidyanim, go after the Midyanim because they're still plotting against you. They are still angry that Cosby was killed, And that you not only did that, but you also destroyed a lot of their getchkes, their idols. I know that they are scheming to war against you, and I'm going to give you a command to go to war, and the war is going to have the following exceptional laws. Normally, we give a enemy an opportunity to sue for peace. Right? That could not happen here. And it says also, normally we have a vera that when we go against an army and against their area, we cannot destroy the fruit trees. Here, however, you're required to. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky says there's a lesson to be learned here. Hashem now commands the people to carry out justice. And he says, make the Minyanim, make the Midianites your enemies and attack them for the way they conspired in the past against you and are now conspiring. And because of the great disgrace of taking their number one princess and making her into a prostitute, to capture someone and to bring the plague that occurred in their creation of the sin of Peor. And Rabbi Kamenetsky says, we got to think for a minute. If we were to take today's perspective, we would say, what's going on here? This was not a war over land. There were no natural resources to be captured. But we see a Kodesh Baruch who has this great vehemence that there has to be this revenge. And he said, do we understand even that there can be revenge for, quote, spiritual damage? How can a war against people be prescribed for what he calls secular seduction? And he tells the following story. He says, in November of 38, before the onset of the war, there was this opportunity to save Jewish children in Germany and bring them to England in what was called the Kinder Transport, bringing young children. However, many of them were put into the north of London. I know my mother-in-law was there as well. But one of the problems were there weren't in that area enough religious Jews to place the children into these foster homes. And many of them were actually placed with non-Jewish families. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was the chief rabbi of London. And he started a major campaign to raise funds to allow as many Jewish children as possible to be placed in homes that were Jewish. And he rallied people. He called one wealthy Jewish industrialist, and he said to him, I need your help because what we have now with the Pikuach Nefesh. And this person said, Rabbi, I really resent the fact that you were flippantly using the term Pikuach Nefesh to enhance your campaign. These children are no longer in danger of being killed by Nazis. We've got them here. Okay? He said, I remember Pikuach Nefesh. My father was an exceedingly pious Jew. And one time, my younger sister became very, very ill. And the rabbi said, take her immediately by train to the hospital because it's Pikuach Nefesh. He said, yes, her life was in danger, and thank God it was saved. But it was her life, her very being, existence, that was at risk. Now, the children here, worst thing is they'll be raised by non-Jewish people. And he hung up on Reb Abramsky, saying, you know what, I can't deal with this. Okay. That Friday night, as a man was sitting with his family at their Friday night Suda, the phone rang. And it rang and rang and rang. Eventually, he picked it up. And the speaker said, this is Rabbi Abramsky. I am telling you it's Pikuach Nefesh. Do you think I would call you on Shabbos if not? And it says, the man quickly pledged and quickly helped in the campaign. Rabbi Kamenetsky says, we understand life and death. We understand justice and injustice, and we understand war and peace in our terms, and what he calls it, our corporeal terms, in terms of what we think. We have an exceedingly difficult time viewing spirituality in terms of Pikuach Nefesh. Therefore, the Torah teaches us that not only do we have to guard against Nazis, right, against terrorists who want to kill us, but we also have to guard against people like the missionaries, etc., who all they want to do is take the Judaism out of the Jew. The Torah generally says you can't chop down the trees around the city, the fruit trees. It says Amon Moav and Minyan are the exceptions. It says Yehoram, the son of Ahav, was evil, a terrible king. And after his death, the Moavim subjugated the Jewish authority. In other words, what they did is, while they had been previously under control, they now realized they were strong enough to break away and stop paying their taxes. Yehoram got his army together, and it says he asked Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, to join him, as well as the king of Edom. The three kings and their armies traveled 7 days to fight. And it took them through, it says, the dry wilderness of Edom. And they were in terrible danger of dying from thirst. Yoram, the king of Israel, who was not a good person, says, it looks like God decided to get us to come here and give us to Moab. Yehoshaphat said, is there not a Navi of Hashem here who can give us some advice? One of the servants of Jeroboam said, Elisha, the disciple of Eliyahu, was nearby. And they decided to go see him. Elisha was not happy, and he said to Jehoram, I would never talk to you. However, Jehoshaphat, who is a God-fearing king, is here. So I'm going to tell you what, he says, I'll give you an answer. Go find the prophets of Baal that your father Ahab and Jezebel had so much faith in. And the king of Israel said, no, no, no. We're in danger. Help us. It said Elisha had become angered and therefore the Ruach Hashem sort of moved away from him, and it says a Novi has to have peace of mind. So they began to play a certain amount of music, I get instruments for him. Hashem said to the people, to thee, tell the kings to dig trenches in the water. You will not see wind or rain, but I am going to miraculously fill the trenches with water so that there is sufficient water for the men and the animals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am going to give you Moav in your hands, and I am giving you a command to destroy each of their fruit-bearing trees, to fill in their water wells, and destroy every good piece of land with stones. He said the same thing should be done to Ammon and Midian. Elisha's prediction occurred and the water was found. Meanwhile, the Moabim heard that the people were there in battle. And when they looked down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Moavim to see bright red. They saw blood. And they said, they got into an internal battle and they killed themselves out. Let's go down and collect the spoils. As they came down, they were shocked to see three intact, healthy armies, which destroyed them and did what Hashem said in chopping down the fruit trees. The king of Moav asked some of his advisors, what is here? How does God do this? And they said to him, you know why? It's in the merit of Avram Avinu, who was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. And he said, I'm not going to be treated inferior to the Jews. And he said, give me my firstborn. And he slaughtered him to the sun god he worshipped. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked and, right, had anger, it says, at this action. And that's basically confirms the degree of punishment that they served. With Midian, it said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when you go to war against them, don't allow an attempt for peace. Why this? It says other nations attempted to kill the body of the Jewish people. These nations realized that the people, the human beings, could not be captured, but they believed in Bilaam's advice that if we get them to sin, if we get them to assimilate, then we're going to overcome. And it's because of this attempt to kill the Jewish soul that they were dealt with more severely than others. Hashem said to Moshe, when going to war against the Midianim, he should not be involved, because when he escaped from Egypt, he went to Midian and he had been saved. And there's a degree of hakara satayv, gratitude, required. It says, the Moavim wanted to kill the Jews. Somehow they had the feeling that they would be imperiled, even though they had been told they wouldn't be. They had an irrational fear. The people of Midian were far away. In them joining and in them becoming the ones who brought this great sin of the prostitutes and the plague, they deserved extra punishment. There was a remnant left because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, right, Moav to generate Rus, a Moavi. And for whatever reason, as we spoke about around Shavuos time, the neshama of Rus had to come from Moav and come back to Klal Yisroel. There was something in Lot's persona that was sufficiently important that it had to come back to Klal Yisroel through Rus. Okay. And